Welcome back, 96.5 FM, The Fan, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. The Yankees did not score in the 10th. Cleveland now has their chance. Man on third, two outs. They get in this game right here, Julio.
Single will do it.
And make it 2-1, and the next two in Cleveland.
They need it. They lose this, and it's over. It's over.
Friday, the Dodgers will play the Mets at Citi Field at 4:08 Kansas City time. Yanks and Guardians 7:08 p.m. Kansas City time. So you get that. Plus, there's good football on Friday night, too. Friday nights have been really good college football nights.
Did that just happen?
Walk-off home run.
Done.
Walk-off two-run home run. Cleveland wins. Cleveland wins. It is now a 2-1 series.
Put up a fight. Thank you, Cleveland.
They put up a fight. People are going nuts. Of course, there's a lot to go. Walk-off home run here. You had a home run with two outs in the ninth. Who hit it? Fry hit it. So Fry hit it for Cleveland. Isn't that who hit the home run?
That's correct. Just now, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to keep an eye on who actually hit the home run for him. But, yeah, so Cleveland, man, standing strong with that payroll. Lowest payroll still left in the playoffs. Of course, the American League had 3 out of 4 teams from the AL Central. That's the one thing about the Royals. Like, we can be excited about the Royals. But Cleveland's not going anywhere, neither is Detroit. And Minnesota will be better, and Chicago will be better.
Minnesota underachieved this year.
They did. This is a pinch hit home run as well. When David Fry came in, he had 14 on the year, 14 home runs on there, real pinch hit home run. That makes you look smart, right?
I mean, same thing for, I've never heard of a John Kenzie Noel, and I believe they pinch into him. And
the Yankees have now.
Yeah, they sure have.
Yeah, Cleveland's sure going have. Nuts. They absolutely had to have, this game. So 100% they needed this game. As far as the series or the game with the Niners, play the radio segment from our sister station, 95.7. The game in Frisco, as far as, you know, giving the Chiefs respect and stuff. This is what our guy Steven Spector said about it here around the office. Carrington played this earlier today.
All right, guys, I would argue that this is the most important game on the Chiefs' schedule for one reason alone. Have you looked at the rest of the schedule through the month of November? It's at Vegas, Monday night at home against Tampa, home against Denver. Obviously, that big game in Buffalo on week 11, at Carolina, home against Vegas. There's not a loss in there. So this is really a pivot game. A win against San Francisco means that you really can lose to Buffalo with no real consequences. And if you're undefeated going into Buffalo, you're already playing with house money. Now, if you have a loss and then you go into Buffalo and lose, that makes the schedule a little bit different heading into the month of December for playoff seeding purposes. But a win against San Francisco basically sets up the next month of Chiefs football for them to be undefeated going into December when they host the Los Angeles Chargers. It's not the most important game because it's an NFC game. It's the most important game on their schedule because of the way the schedule lays out.
But just looking at the schedule, though, Julio, and I understand.
I don't know if I agree with that.
The Chiefs' dominance against the division. There's no mystery that the Chiefs own this division. I know Tom Brady got an ownership stake in the Raiders. We all know Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes really own that
team.
They
really do.
But Tampa's coming in. You know, Mayfield and stuff like that. They're going to play on the Chiefs on Monday Night Football whenever they return. All right, I mean, that's a game that could be up in the air. At Buffalo is certainly a scary game for the Chiefs because the regular season, they find a way to beat the Chiefs. And Houston at home.
That's the one I'm more worried about.
That's going to be a huge one.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge game. And then, of course, they play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. So they've got...
Yeah,
they're better.
They're better.
It's on the road, hostile environment, so you never know what happens. But yeah. Frisco, to me, is more of a bragging rights game. Like, hey, you own this team.
Yeah, I don't see how it's that important of a game, even if they drop it. I mean, the fact that they are 5-0 right now, I mean, they have some wiggle room to play with, even if they lose this game. Even if they lose... I mean, they lose this, they lose to the Bills. You know, Bills have the tiebreaker, whatever. Again, it's all about playoffs at this point, you know?
The one thing that I'm happiest about is the way the Chiefs have really limited the running game. of the opponents. It's not only that, but it's the stars of the team. We all see how good Derrick Henry has been. They kept him to 13 carries, 46 yards. It was Lamar Jackson that had the 122 in that game. They held Zach Moss, at that point, the best running back on the Bengals, 12 carries, 34 yards. Then they played Bijan Robinson in Atlanta, 16 carries, 31 yards. I mean, it's 2 yards a carry. Then they played J.K. Dobbins, who's off to a good year with the Chargers, 14 carries, 32 yards. Then Alvin Kamara comes in here, and I know he's on the injury report like he was the week before that, but he still played. 11 carries, 46 yards, six catches, 40 yards receiving. So they limited him too. They limited what he was able to do. So if the 49ers are vulnerable, it is on third down.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, this is a strength versus strength, which I am excited to see. I mean,
this is a good, Brock Purdy's playing good football. I mean,
he is.
He's number
is.
Two in the NFL in passing. I mean, he's playing a good year. But again,
the Chiefs know how to play him, man.
How desperate is Frisco? Because
they're desperate. 3-3.
When they look at the window, yes, 3-3. But then again, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And it goes to the philosophy of pay your quarterback and then let's see you win. Like the Chiefs have found the mystery of how they pay their quarterback and still win. Other teams are still looking for that that recipe.
We'll see.
They haven't figured it out yet. It's one of those things that you think they're always going to try, but they don't do it. But anyway, though, it was 26 yards rushing that Alvin had in that game. It wasn't 40, it was 26 yards that he had. Of course, Mahomes talking as well, and he was basically talking about the red zone because this is the one area of the Chiefs that'll frustrate you when the Chiefs get to the red zone. They have no problem moving between the 20s, but it's getting inside the 20s where things have been different. Here was Mahomes on that.
Yeah, I think it's just execution. I think for me, myself, I have to just trust to throw into some of those tighter windows and make those plays and know that that window might be the only opportunity you have to score a touchdown. And then we have to be able to run the ball down there and know that we get different coverages than a lot of other teams. And so instead of necessarily going in with a certain mindset because this is how this team has played in the red zone, we have to go in with more good versus all plays. I mean, if you look at some of these teams, it's like they play man all game, and then they play us. I mean, all season they play us, and it's cover two or cover four, and vice versa. And so we have to go in with the mindset of knowing teams are going to play us a little differently, and we have to execute and accept that challenge. And I've talked about if we've scored in some of these red zone situations, there isn't as many, I guess, questions about the offense because we're scoring in more and more points. And so eliminating turnovers, scoring in the red zone are the two things that I think we just need to work on as the season goes on.
And the turnover, that'll drive you crazy. Like the one that bounced off Juju's hand. Speaking of Juju, here was Mahomes on him.
I mean, I have extreme confidence with the guys that are on that football field. I mean, they've won games. They've won Super Bowls. They've made plays in big moments. And Brett Veach does a great job of bringing players in that can step up whenever their number's called. And so every time I step on that football field, I feel like we have the best ability to win. And I think that's a credit to Brett Veach and Coach Reed bringing in guys that really get after it and put in the work to be great every single day.
And here was Mahomes on what he did during the bye week.
I mean, you stay on top of the little things, shoulder health, knee health, ankle health, all that different type of stuff, especially when you get a little bit extra time in the bye week. And then I try to do whatever I can to maintain my weight in the right spot. And then I even get with my QB coach and get some work in as well in that bye week. You just get a little extra time to focus on your fundamentals even more. And so doing that and then coming back in the building and continue to stay on top of that will be important to me this year.
And there's one guy that enjoys bye weeks. His name's Andy Reid. 21-4 after the bye for Big Red. This is what he said the difference, too, because they've already had their bye week. Is it better to have it? That's the debate. Is it better to have it now or later? That's the debate that people have been asking. I have several opinions on this.
And we've normally had them a little ninth week or plus, you know, somewhere in that area. Our schedule it is crazy enough where you're going to get some days off, and it's important that you take advantage of those days. So that's what I would tell you. So it was good to get this one. And then how we handle the rest of the schedule is the important part. And when we have time, make sure you take the time and for recovery purposes.
So when I initially saw this, that's way too early. Then I was like, okay, this team will get rest because, you know, the point is they do have some, quote, mini buys built in. when they play on Christmas Day, you're off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When they play Black Friday, they're going to be off that whole weekend as well. So it's not like last year where they had six straight week run where they had miserable. Less rest than their opponent. I mean, it was crazy. Buffalo Bills were coming off a bye week before they played the Chiefs and would have won had not for Kadarius Toney being offsides. But they had less rest than their opponent. The Chiefs do have those three games within 11 days. I think that's going to be extremely challenging. I have thought about this. I would prefer it's later. The trade deadline in the NFL is November 5th. That's the deadline. The reason that I would have preferred to be in later than normal, because I understand they do have built-in bye weeks, sort of, if you look at it that way. But the familiarity if you do trade for receiver. Even if it is somebody knows the system, quote, like a DeMarcus Robinson coming in, having that bye week, that extra week of preparation.
Yeah, I prefer towards the latter half of the season as well. I mean, I just, especially with the injuries that they've already had, I mean, this is the worst year for them to have the rash of injuries that they've had, considering where their bye week is. If any year it would have been more beneficial to have it on the later half of the year, it would have been this year.
See, my whole thing is, and again, they got to be tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand there's been a handful of guys that have gone on this whole run with them in the four Super Bowls, like your Kelce, Mahomes, your Jones, yeah, Butker,
those are
guys.
The pillars, right?
But still, the other guys you're bringing in, like your rookies the last 2 years, they've gone the whole way to the Super Bowl. They've all gone to February. You hear about that rookie wall that they hit. Well, the Chiefs have just pushed on back that. But when you're playing till six straight AFC title games and losing either in an overtime or going to the Super Bowl and winning or losing it.
A lot of football.
It's a lot of football. It's like an extra year of football that other people have played. And you're getting everybody's best shot, which no team gets everybody's best shot like the Kansas City Chiefs do. Mm-hmm. I fully expect Frisco to look back at the Chiefs, what they do. And again, you can only look at somewhat limited film with the Chiefs. Because they run a different style now than what they were. They're a completely different style what they do offensively now because they've had to resort to being different.
Had to adjust. They've had to make adjustments. And like I said earlier, the 49ers have all the motivation in the world to go out and just give everything they have for this game. It's hard for me to see what the Chiefs said. What's their motivation going into this game other than having the championship mentality?
No question about our phone number, 913-586-7965. Also, JSouthland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Still coming up, my favorite college coach has emerged. But coming up next, there's something going on in the NFL, Julio. A different tactic. Is it sportsmanship? Will it work? I kind of like it, but is there some sarcasm involved in it as well? I'll explain next. Welcome back, 96.5, The Fan, the Broncos, 13-0. Javonte Williams, 8-yard touchdown run. Will Lutz with the PAT, and Julio brought up a good point to me. In the break, who gets fired first, Doug Peterson or Dennis Allen? I mean, that was a team that was red hot. Remember that offense?
They started off fast.
They've lost four straight. This could be five straight if they lose tonight. Dougie P, I think, was saved because he was across the pond. He didn't have to come back to the United States. He gets to stay there for another thrilling game against New England this weekend in London.
Yeah, but the Broncos blow out the Saints here. Dennis Allen was already on the hot seat. I mean, an embarrassment like that.
Oh, yeah.
I could see. I mean,
Sean Payton's returning. He put the visor back on.
Yeah. I mean, this could be his last game. Started the season out hot.
Red hot. That offense. Everybody's, ooh, what are they going to do this?
Little Spencer Rattler back there.
And I do like Spencer Rattler. Yeah. I like his development overrated. A lot more. He's 4 of 7, 54 yards. I do like him a lot better than when he was in Oklahoma. Local, he's a little too full of himself when he went to transfer to South Carolina. Got a little more humble pie. And I thought was a lot more efficient.
Which, by the way, our old friend Willie Gay blew the assignment there on that last
Mr. Coverage linebacker.
Yeah, blew it. Covering there.
Bo Nix, by the way, 10 of 14, 102 yards. But he's got 35 yards on the ground. Spencer Rattler, as I said, only 54 yards passing. So we'll see what happens. But the Broncos, they're going to be feeling themselves after this. 4-3. Our text line, 913-586-7965. Settle down, hotties. We're getting inundated. Julio's married, man. He just had a kid, man. Just settle down on the text line.
Simmer down. Simmer down.
Actually, I'm kidding. That this does not ever happen to us, Leo. I'm just
no, not in this industry.
No. It's that,
that's more of a TV thing, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. And Cleveland, a home run to tie it up. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. Another home run, walk-off home run by David Fry to win it. Cleveland 7, Yankees 5. 3-2 now. Dodgers and Mets, bottom of the third. But we have postseason action, man. Postseason excitement. So, of course, we got football, too, because we're in that stretch of 56 straight games of football. There's also football going on, Julio. As other conferences are doing it besides just the MAC that always used to thrill us with, and they'll be back action. Tuesday and Wednesday, some action. But as far as you get football any night of the week, and that includes the NFL, college football, you name it, we're in this stretch of 56 straight days that I call glory days. But
you're going somewhere else with that.
What? Where'd you think I was going?
Glory, you know. That's fine.
Marshall 25, Georgia State 10. At halftime, Boston College of Virginia Tech 28-0. Virginia Tech over BC in that game. So you got sports everywhere, man. There's just sports on everywhere, man.
Sports horny.
Yeah. That's why you don't get married this time of year. You wait until spring. Wait until summer.
You know, that's where I'm going with it. I know better.
What's your day?
May.
Okay.
May.
Oh, perfect.
Yep.
You know what you're doing, Leo. You know what you're doing, man. Her.
No football season weddings.
Did you really lay those parameters?
I really did.
Really? Yeah.
No, I really did. As long as it wasn't during football season.
Because you're like, no one's going to go, babe. No one's going to go.
I got to work, man. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, and if they go, they're not going to want to go, and they're going to be on their phones watching the game, and they're going to be huddled around watching the game. They'll probably take advantage of our free beer we're going to give, but they're still going to watch the game.
Wedding 101, you know?
Yeah, you got to make them put their calendar phone away before they get the free beer, huh?
There you go.
It's a philosophy you should take. Well, I'm going to play two clips from you, Julio, and you don't know what I'm doing here. In this litmus test, because you nailed the other one. When I said, what'd you notice about Juju? You said, he's wide open. 100% right. I'm going to play two clips for you. And I want to see if you can put them together. Put them together what I'm doing. All right. This is Kittle and Debo. They were on this podcast together, and they were talking about the Chiefs game. And
it's going to be an outstanding matchup. You know, they undefeated, I think, still.
Yeah, yep. They're undefeated.
Playing at a high level. Niners playing at a high level. I think it's a great matchup.
Mahomes is Mahomes.
Yeah, for sure.
He's amazing. Kelce just decided to get really hot like the last 2 weeks.
I know, that's your guy.
Travis is amazing. Yeah, I love Trav. But he, so they've got that working out. They've got some major injuries on their team too, which is, you know, but they're still finding ways to win. And like, that's the hardest thing in the NFL is finding ways to win. Anytime you have Mahomes and Kelce though, you're probably going to find a way to win. And then I would also say this is probably the best defense we've gone against this season. Like, that's what, you know, we've talked about already in our tight end room. And they have a lot of really good playmakers out there. Chris Jones is an absolute monster.
Definitely.
And, like, can't leave him one-on-one. Like, he's going to probably get an Aaron Donald treatment where you just always slide to him, get four hands on him 24-7. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait. Like, these are the games that you play football for. It's a game of the week. You got Tom Brady talking about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. The new Raiders minority owner, 5%, because his group has 10%. But one of the new owners, I love those memes that are going around about Brady with that. He looked like the Dumb and Dumber from the Mark Davis haircut. All right, so that's one. That's one. Now, here's the next one, Julio. This one comes from Jamar Chase that I cut earlier. This is Jamar Chase, the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, talking today.
I'm just tired of being a villain on social media. I still do it. I'm just tired of seeing myself on Twitter every day.
You do it in different ways?
I just don't do it no more. I do it on the field.
So, okay. Those two clips. Okay. What did you notice out of those, Julio? I think there's good and bad to be taken out of those two clips I just played.
I noticed a difference in attitude, you know? The Kittle, Debo seemed a little more upbeat, like they're excited. And you have Jamar, who just, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say poor attitude, but it kind of feels that way. He's always like kind of like a Debbie Downer, and he does have that villain role mentality. Whereas, they were almost excited to play the Chiefs, and they were like, it was like their friends that they're playing against their friends. And then you have Jamar Chase, who's just Mr. Hater over here, which I love even more. I would much rather have it, have that love-hate relationship than the brotherly love kind of situation with the 49ers.
Well, instead of crying like what happened after the Super Bowl, remember when they talked about, hey, we had to train at UNLV's facilities and all, even though they're brand new, where they had to train.
Yeah, nonsense.
And, but they were being too polite, weren't they? I know Kelsey and Kittle do the tight end university.
It's respect, stuff, man.
But yeah, they were putting it on. I don't know if that's sarcastic. Like, hey, we'll just be nice. We'll just lay roses at the feet of the Chiefs.
Well, they've learned from Jamar Chase is you don't poke the bear. Like, you don't give them any more motivation than they already have.
And that's how they played it. That's exactly. It's what kind of you notice. Is it on purpose? Yeah, I think it's on purpose. You know, let's just be nice. The Chiefs have always been pretty complimentary. They're playing those Spags is very always complimentary against Purdy, but you do that, and you don't have that edge. How can we get mad at them if they're sitting here telling us how good we are? Nick Saban used to call that rat poison for Alabama when people would tell him how good they are all the time, and he didn't like it. Called it rat poison. But Jamar Chase, that's a guy that learned. That's a guy that learned.
Has he, though? When
you start talking trash about other teams, they use it for bulletin board, like his teammate Cam Taylor-Britt did about Xavier Worthy just running straight down the field. Like, Jamar said that he will talk smack on the field, but he's been in the league for a while. I noticed this last week when he was talking. I give him credit because I'll save it for the field. I like that attitude of it.
Yeah,
I think there's something behind it. I think there's something behind it. Just like the Niners being all friendly, and I understand these guys are friends and stuff like that, but that was overboard friendly.
I agree. The reason I say Jamar Chase is – the way he's trying to approach it now is fake, is because if they were winning right now, he wouldn't have that same energy. But because they're struggling right now, there's some things going on in the clubhouse. They're not playing the way they want to play.
Yeah. If they were undefeated, like he said, we're the best team in the AFC.
You guarantee he would be talking that smack still. But because they're struggling, he's reeled it in, which rightfully so, he should be.
He blames social media because people are all over him when he does.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't think he would have that same energy if they were winning, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, as far as Kansas Chiefs, by the way, you know, as far as trading for a receiver, not they do have a first-round pick this year, a second round, two-thirds because of L'Jarius Sneed. You know, a fourth round, a fifth round, two seventh-round picks as well, which you might say, who cares? Well, the Chiefs are actually pretty good with those seventh-round picks. Isaiah Pacheco come to mind with hitting on the seventh round. There's so much to draft, though. Chris Onocero and I do the Character Concerns podcast. We've got a fresh one out now. Check it out. Where you look at the different matchups each week and which prospects we watch. Talk a lot about receivers. This can be a running back draft, man.
Is it?
And tight ends, too. The tight end position, I mean, this is a lot better than last year. But last year, like, we watch Xavier Worthy. We followed him the whole year, way before they even drafted him. Like, you follow him and tell him, like, who the matchups are, who they're playing, and some good stuff there. But coming up next, Julio, I'm going to let you know who may be my new favorite college coach. Hey, welcome back to 96.5. The Fan, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Saints are on the board, by the way. 13-3 now.
About time.
Minute 22 left in the second. In that one earlier, of course, Cleveland in extras beats the Yankees at series. Now goes to 2-1. The Dodgers lead the Mets by one at series, 2-1 LA at this point. That game is in the top of the fourth. One of the things talked about, Julio, has been the Big Ten. You know, there's this whole conference expansion and adding these West Coast teams, you know, into the Big Ten. Having those big rivalries between UCLA and Rutgers, right? Yeah, the money grab. But before last weekend, teams were 1-8 when they crossed the two time zones from the Big Ten. Well, they were the teams that were leaving West Coast to the East Coast and East Coast to West Coast weren't having success. They weren't having success going to the opposite coast. And we saw Penn State that did beat USC, so things changed. They got that big win and have won two. But at one point, the only team that had crossed the time zones was Indiana. Which, look out for Indiana, by the way. They're undefeated. They play Nebraska at 11 o'clock this Saturday. It's a fun game. Kurt Cignetti is their head coach now. He comes over from James Madison. Was at James Madison before, had success there. And now, of course, he's at Indiana. He was on Pat McAfee's show. And, of course, they have crossed over to the West Coast. You had Indiana that went out to UCLA and beat them 42-13, right? Have you ever heard a coach like this, Julio? Kurt Cignetti, when he was on with Pat McAfee.
How do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you...
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
I win. Google me. That's what he used there. I
love
win.
Love that.
Google me. That was what he said before. Like, he was just like, hey, I know that people are looking at it like, oh, you can't say Google me and things like that. You got to be, you know... This is what he said before. This is a couple, you know, a while back ago. Because he was trying to say, man, I'm tired of explaining who I am and stuff. I do win. That's what he was trying to say there. But then this week on McAfee said this.
Yeah, Coach, the Big Ten obviously expanded west. And I'm just wondering, like, how does that affect your travel schedule? Are you guys able to go out on Thursdays? And do you think it's as big deal? I think you guys were the only win up until this past weekend out west. Do you think it's as big of a deal as they've been making out?
Oh, that's a good question. So you know, I got a certain way I do things, right? And I've learned from a lot of people. But like, I like to have our Friday walkthrough here and our meetings here so the guys don't miss class in the morning. And I like to get to the hotel as late as possible. I don't like spend a lot of time in a hotel. And we'll get there, feed them, maybe have a quick meeting in the evening and get up and play. So, you know, my weight guy and my director of football ops, they've got all these designs, you know, like go out Thursday, this is what you got to do. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, we played out at Weber State, Utah State, some of those other places before. You know what I mean? No. We ain't doing that, guys. You know, we're going to get there as late as possible. Okay, we're going to wake up and we're going to play the game and we're going to come back. That's what we did. We got to the hotel about 8 o'clock at night, ate our meal, went to bed, woke up, played 3:30, kicked their ass and came home.
I mean,
I love that.
What have you heard of coach
personality,
today?
Man.
You know, we got there, went to sleep, we ate, went to sleep, got up, we kicked their ass. Like, you do not hear that. Like, UCLA will probably not take kindly to that when they meet Indiana again.
But I loved it, though.
Right. I mean, absolutely loved it that he said that. And he's true because that has been a struggle for teams, you know, across. Like, you had to think about all those things. You know what's funny about sports is we look at these things and how much will they really affect you in the grand scheme of things? Like Scottie Scheffler, remember, number one player in the world, gets arrested for the PGA, then goes out, he actually goes to jail, comes back and shoots one of his best rounds. Like, he didn't have that whole prep work, right? He wasn't putting 50,000 times and working out, doing his routine, right? Tyreek Hill, you know, gets detained there, just on the curb there before game one and goes out and has a great game, by far his best game of the year.
Best celebration, too, by the way.
And then here, you go, hey, man, who cares? You're on a plane. I mean, who cares what time zone you're in? Just do the body clock, man. Just who cares if you're on a plane or not, whether you're going to the East Coast, the West Coast, or whatever. Just have your dinner, get up, and go kick their ass, like Cignetti said.
I love it when coaches have personalities like that. Show you a little something, give you a little something to write about or talk about. I love that, man. I love that.
Oh, gosh, yes.
No. We ain't doing that, guys. You know, we're going to get there as late as possible. Okay, we're going to wake up, and we're going to play the game, and we're going to come back. That's what we did. We got to the hotel about 8 o'clock at night, ate our meal, went to bed, woke up, played 3:30, kicked their ass, and came home.
Now, that is some coach smack, man.
He's a winner, man. Google.
We just talked a minute ago about, you know, the pro teams, you know, and how he was not getting bulletin board material. He just, man, whatever, man. I just said, he's 6-0, man. I'll give him credit. You know, he's winning at a school like Indiana. Now, I'm telling you, name, image, and likeness has just changed the game so much. You can win at a place like Indiana. I mean, they're in a Power 5 conference. They're in the Big Ten, but they're playing well above their skis right now. I mean, that is a turnaround from where they were last year. It is 6-0 now. Of course, they haven't played, you know, the juggernauts, Florida International, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte. They don't have any ranked wins against them. The Nebraska game, even though Nebraska is not ranked, that Nebraska game will be a test for them. They still have Michigan and Ohio State coming up later this year.
Which, by the way, I'm going to my first Nebraska game against UCLA.
Are you?
I am. I'm excited for that.
Is there a reason for this?
My fiance's family is all from Nebraska. So
okay, so that's your reason.
Fan. Yeah. Yep. So I'm excited for that.
I was curious what your reasoning was, but I like that.
Yeah.
Going to different college games is fun, man. That's like the ultimate bucket list. I know people, you know, what are you going to do for your bucket list? Man, if you got the means, do it. Go to a college football team. Just pick one out, man. Maybe go to the Army-Navy game. You know, just have fun there. Or go down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and see them play Tennessee, something like that. Or just any team. Or go down to the Grove and Ole Miss and all that. Because they do fun things between the third and fourth quarter now. Or the third and fourth quarter because of the LED lights they have now in the show and the music and things like that that they play. But just go. I mean, if you haven't been down to Manhattan to watch Kansas State or I would say Kansas, but you got to go to Sporting or to Arrowhead. Yeah. But yeah, SEC, go down to Mizzou, go up to Iowa State, man. I mean, it's crazy to go to Iowa City for the University of Iowa. I mean, it's fun. I went down to Arkansas once to watch Arkansas play Alabama. That was fun. It was in a media role, but I went down there because I was, you know, covering college football, and I wanted to see him play.
Still counts. Still counts. Yeah, I'm excited for that, though.
So I never forget that one Thursday night, you know, Kansas State's playing Auburn. That's when I was voting in the AP. So it's like, you know what? They were both ranked. It's like, I want to see as many ranked teams as I can. And that was great because it was, you know, it was during the week. I could go to the game and enjoy it because, to be honest with you, one of the best ways to consume college football, if you're not going to go do one of those trips, is to watch them on TV. Because there's so many good games sometimes slated at the same time. Like that 11 o'clock slate early on this year was just nails. And it's pretty damn good this week. I mean, Missouri's playing Auburn the same time that you get Indiana and Nebraska. The 2:30 slate's always good. But that 6:30, like that primetime slate, is always so good. And this week we got games with three different games involving both ranked teams.
Well, you know, when you're a college football junkie nerd like yourself, I'm glad you have these types of weekends to look forward to, Bank.
Oh, I do. You know, I know this is going to sound weird, and it used to not sound weird, what I'm about to say. I got cable for this.
For this specific reason?
Yeah. I mean, I still have, you know, streaming away like Amazon and stuff. I still have ESPN Plus and stuff, but I got the cable just because I'm tired of, you know, the Roku sticks and everything. Because I know you can change the sports.
Went YouTube TV.
I like to just flip the channel on an actual remote and go to the channels. But with Spectrum, I get the ACC network, the Big Ten, the SEC. I mean, I get all this. Plus, I get, you know, a different means to watch. Because one thing about watch on apps is you got to hop out of them. You can't really just. You basically got to let that game on because you can't. It's hard to just hop in and out all the time of the apps. And I don't care if you have high-speed Wi-Fi, whatever, but it's still a pain in the butt.
Yeah, you know, but that's the way things are moving. So
it is, Julio, but I'm a dinosaur, man.
I know. You got to get with the times, man.
But I still have the streaming services, though. I mean, I still have, not all of them. I mean, I don't buy YouTube TV or Hulu or any of that, but I do have Amazon Prime. I do have ESPN Plus.
Netflix, probably.
I mean, yeah. I do have those to be able to watch sports, but as far as football is concerned, gotta go old school with cable, man.
You know, instead of cable, I'm telling you, YouTube TV, when they do the multi-screen stuff now,
yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. Very cool.
Beautiful, beautiful. Watch four games at once, Bank. You can watch four games at once.
But there's so much dilemma on which game to watch, and
that's the beauty of it. You pick one, and you see something, some action happening in another game. You jump over to the other game.
And I've been a Red Zone fan, but I still have to have a game on, though, too. Because I have Red Zone usually on another TV.
Yeah.
And I just keep it there. But I have to want to have one that you lock into. Because it's more enjoyable. That I know it's I fun agree. To watch in the Red Zone and stuff like that. But, you know, glance at it. You know, watch that. What's going on? But I do like to sit there and watch a game. And
it's fair.
There's so much confusion that goes on with, you know, with college football when you got all these great games going on at the same time. It's like, oh man, what do I do? Which direction I go? But
losing your mind.
But the weekends are made for football, man. It's now true. That I figured out how to get my beer delivered, think I'm going anywhere on Saturdays?
You have no reason to leave the house now, huh?
Well, I used to go to breakfast every weekend at Corner Cafe, you know, and then I do that Sunday show now, so I had to switch it to Saturdays. But you got to get up early because Because I have a choice. Like, am I going to miss college game day? Do I really want to risk missing college game day? Which, by the way, Scheffler, speaking of Scheffler, he'll be the guest picker this week over Big Noon kickoff. Ah. I mean, so now I haven't been going.
You know, priorities, man. Priorities. You also have issues, but neither here nor there.
You know? You have a minute?
Right?
Got many issues, Julio.
Don't we all?
I got many, many, many issues. But anyway, yeah, I just really like when it gets Thursday and it's getting ready to turn to Friday. I love doing that fans football show on Friday. That really gets my appetite for football.
Great show.
Guys like Mitch sit there and he breaks down it. Mitch Schwartz breaks down everything. I mean, he's seen it. He's done it. He was on Cleveland. He's a four-time All-Pro, but he was on Cleveland with Johnny Manziel. You kidding me? He was blocking for Manziel.
Sure,
and he blocked for
stories.
Mahomes in a Super Bowl. Dude's got some stories. he's got some great stories. And Sean Barber was on that Philadelphia team that was the 1 year Andy Reid won Coach of the Year.
Stories as well.
The 1 year that he won it. All right, so Tom Brady is an owner now, right? You know, part owner, but he's going to be instrumental in his team. The odds are out now for who his next head coach is. We'll have fun with this next. And welcome back. Final segment, 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 137th and Metcalf. Mitch Schwartz and I, the fans football shows. Come out and have some great Buffalo Wild Wings. Get your beer special at $5 Bud Light, 20 ounces. Get that. But Tom Brady, we've mentioned that. Tom Brady's been in the news quite a bit. Of course, he's calling the Chiefs game this weekend. That'll be interesting, right? Like if you're Andy Reid, what are you going to say? Hey, Tom, how you doing? We're not going to show you. We can't let you go to our practices because that's the league's rule where you can't come to our practices. We can't talk to you or anything else. So, you know, just kind of wave to him like, good luck, Tom.
Makes his job a little bit more difficult, right?
Here's the props from Jimmy Shapiro on Bet Online that we sent today. The question was, will Bill Belichick be the head coach of the Raiders week one, 2025? Yes is plus 200. No is minus 300. So no.
That's got to be a no. You think Tom Brady's going to want to bring in Bill Belichick and relive that all over again?
Because he knows
that. No way.
Maybe it'd be a way to kind of turn your team around. If you rely on that, because I understand. Listen, Belichick did find a way to win a playoff game in Cleveland. I mean, that is awesome. I'll give him credit for that. But in New England, he won because he had Tom Brady. And when Brady left, the litmus test was going to be, is it Belichick or Brady? Chicken or the egg, right? Brady goes down to Tampa, wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, they ain't going to get the job done. And so Belichick, I think, goes at his age, he wants to catch Shula. If Belichick, he wants a quarterback, ready-made quarterback.
He doesn't
quarterback
want to rebuild. Now, and do you honestly want Bill Belichick to coach a young draft pick quarterback like that, like a franchise quarterback? I wouldn't want him anywhere near a young, impressionable quarterback.
And it's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to be hard. And I know Mark Davis, it's a great move by him, by the way, bringing in Brady. Great move by him. But Brady's going to have expectations. It's why the great ones often don't make great coaches. You know, like baseball, there's a ton of journeyman catchers and backup catchers, like Ned Yost, backup catcher. That's the way it is. And football head coaches are guys that either tried to play the game but just weren't good enough or played for a couple of years on special teams. And that's kind of the way it goes because it's easier for them to coach. It's harder for the guys that were great because they expect greatness like they were great and things came easy to them. So you don't see Peyton Manning put on the headset on the sideline right now.
Not yet, anyways.
Not yet. But it's going to be harder for Brady because he's going to have expectations of what that quarterback should be.
How you've listened to a couple of games of his, I'm sure. How do you feel about him as an announcer? Because I've not been all that impressed, if I'm being honest.
No, I'm not either. The first couple weeks, definitely not.
Yeah.
And I understand.
Take some time, but still.
I mean, I know he's Tom Brady, but going to a broadcast booth, it is more difficult, man. I mean, you do have a lot of prep you have to do, and if you're already rich and you date supermodels and all that, I mean,
do you really want to dedicate?
Do you really want to dedicate the time or the young and hungry, you know, guy coming up and that really wants this gig? It's tough, but he knows so much about the game. It was kind of like when Romo early on. I felt that way for Brady.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, if you're not a fan of it, it's not going to get better. He's got these rules and stipulations. You can't criticize officials. You can't do that. And what he says about players, he's going to be conscious about it now because what if I want this guy to be a Raider? You know, this free agent, well, am I going to really see something mean because he could end up on my team?
Or tampering.
So he's got that. And I know that people are saying, well, these new rules are going to limit him. Let me give you a little insight. Tom Brady had these rules on him before the season started. So, yes, there are these rules. Everybody's talking about these new rules. He's got them. He's had those the whole year because the owners wanted that because he was, quote, he was a potential owner. Being a potential owner, they did not want to give him that leeway to do to go in the team's facilities and stuff like that, right? So the owners were very skeptical about it at first. First, there was two things. One, they were worried about this. And two, they thought he got a discount from Mark Davis for doing this because Mark wasn't even part of the – again, brilliant for the Raiders. The Raiders are desperate to get a footprint in Las Vegas. Like the Golden Knights have just got that footprint, and they've developed their own fan base, right? It's not just all the transplants to live there because Vegas is full of people that all over the country, like Nashville, Tennessee, and places like that. Try to cultivate your fan base because you saw – the highlights of the Steelers game. There was 100% terrible towels all over that place. That was a Steelers crowd. That was majority Steelers crowd. And you know what? When the Chiefs go there in 2 weeks, it'll be a ton, and I mean a ton of red.
We travel well.
It's become the – everybody's looking at their schedules going, ooh, man, we've been wanting to go to Vegas. Go watch your team out in Vegas. It's become the ultimate destination for fans to go.
Oh, and the
it's a
tickets,
nice stadium. It's a great place, but you're in Sin City.
The ticket prices certainly reflect that as well.
Yeah.
Most expensive ticket in the league, even when they suck.
And you know that the high rollers are getting it. You know, MGM, you're at the table, you're gambling, you know, 20, 30K, whatever.
Coming all
over
your clients. And,
like, yeah, hey, I'd like to go to the Raiders game, you know. He goes, he got those, and yeah, I mean, so it is, but he can't gamble during the season, and you're in Vegas. Now, you can go into a casino, but you can't go into a sports book.
So he can bet, he just can't bet sports.
There's limitations on that. Yeah, there's limitations. Yeah, you definitely can't bet sports.
You know?
But I do believe he can play slot machines still. So
some old blackjack.
Oh, yeah, you can't do it either.
I cannot bet sports. I cannot at all.
But you can go in a casino, correct? Or no?
I can go in a casino. I just can't go into...
So slot machines, you can go in there and play those. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not a gambler anyways. I don't know that Tom Brady is either.
No, I mean, who knows? I'm just saying the temptation being in Vegas or, you know, all the time. He's not going to live
part
there.
Of lifestyle, probably, you know?
Probably live there half the time or something, you know? He's kind of wondered. I was expecting more, but then again, I kind of gave a break because... this is the first time doing it. I mean, it's not easy just to hop into that number one booth, man.
Yeah, but when you get paid that much money, you better
over
come in
$300 million.
Oh, my gosh, ridiculous.
Yeah. And I was a big fan of Greg Olson. I thought he did a tremendous job. I thought Olson did a great job on that broadcast. Anyway, huge thanks tonight to Julio Sanchez. Always enjoy working with Julio. It's cool to hear Players Only on right before us with Dane and Hughes. Hosting that and Sean Barber that joined him. I'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings, 137th and Metcalf. If you go to 96.5thefan.com, it's our whole schedule. We do a different Buffalo Wild Wings each week, and some of them we go to twice. Like, we're going to do Olathe next week. This week will be Metcalf. Then we're going to Olathe. And
might
we're going to Lee
join.
Summit.
Might have to join.
And guess what? One of these times we're going to St. Joe.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings up in St. Joe in a couple of weeks as well. But we have a ton of fun doing that. Had a great show. Thanks, Julio. A lot of fun.
Always.
A lot of fun. Dusty, Bob, tomorrow, 5:58 in the morning. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm gonna stick 'em in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.